Management Research.
Hello and welcome to the Management Research Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Eugene Popatistov. Hello and welcome to the next episode in my mini-series, this time dedicated to the field of strategic management. In our previous episode, we talked about the environmental analysis, and in particular about the past analysis, where we analyzed the political, economic, social, and technological factors. Today, we are going to talk about one of the theories that is crucial for strategic management. And this theory is called the path dependency theory. The path dependency theory is a very old one. I think the first paper that I read about it was printed in 1985. I assume there were also previous works, but I think the paper by David 1985 created the basement for the theory. In his paper, the author analyzed a very interesting case. It was the case of typewriters. And I cannot remember exactly, but I tried to repeat the story how I learned it, how I know it. The first question that I ask my students is, how do you think, why are the letters located in the order that you have them in front of you, the letters on the keyboard? This Q, W, E, R, T, Y. Why QWERTY? Why is it the case? Usually I collect suggestions so you can try to answer the question, how do you think, why are the letters located in the order that you see them in front of you on your keyboard? Usually, my students suggest that it is made in order to increase your writing speed, in order to make your writing more convenient, and so on. And actually, the case is a bit different. And one of the inventors, the one who proposed to produce the first typewriter, he came with his suggestion to one of the big producers, I think it was Remington, and he showed his invention. So the idea was pretty simple. He had all letters located in one row from A to Z, and he had like small hammers, and each time you pressed the letter, a small hammer hit on the paper, and between the paper and the hammer was the ink strip, and that's why the ink stayed on the paper. But there was an issue with his invention. For instance, if you type too fast, this small hammer, they jumped. If you experienced the old typewriters, you may have experienced this issue, at least what we had in Ukraine at home. We had an old typewriter, Yachin, and it used to jam pretty often. So the firm, they said that the inventor has to resolve this issue, and if he manages to resolve the issue, they will produce the typewriters at scale. And the inventor found not a better idea than just to rearrange the letters, rearrange them in three rows and try to mix the letters in a way that those that are used very often, that they are located far away from each other. Like, for example, the letter A and L, or S and P. It slowed down the writers, and because of this, the hammers were not jamming, and it kind of was a simple resolution for a complex problem. So as you see, the location of the letters, how they are placed, is actually driven not by the desire to optimize your speed of typing or not by your convenience, it was vice versa. The person wanted to slow you down as much as possible. And they started producing the typewriters at scale, and by the way, this Q, W, E, R, T, and Y, with these letters, you can type the word typewriter, and it was rather the marketing move just to help those salespeople sell the typewriters. They could just place their six fingers on the letters Q, W, E, R, T, and Y and type the word typewriter. And they started producing these typewriters at scale, so it was massive production. And as you can imagine, previously the technology of printing was very complicated. You had to have the sheets of metal where you had to make all the words from separate letters, and then the whole page was printed like in Gutenberg press. And after the typewriters appeared, everybody could write, and the writers, they also wanted to write not by hand but typing and making the text readable, easy to read and easy to sell. Many institutions started using these typewriters, and they became very, very popular. And then, some years later, another inventor came and said that he resolved the issue with his hammers. Actually, you don't need the hammers, he proposed the idea of a typing wheel. So theoretically, you can position all the letters on one wheel, and each time you press the button, the wheel rotates and the correct letter hits through the ink strip the correct letter on the sheet of paper. So it cannot jam, because there are no hammers that can jam. And he suggested that we can go back to the letters A to Z. And it didn't work. People didn't want to have them, people got used to them. We had already the 10-finger typing schools and many other institutions, they already had some typewriters and didn't want to relearn their people to use different typewriters. So people continued using this QWERTY keyboard. There were many suggestions, and one of them was the Dvorak keyboard. I think it was Apple who suggested or tried to make the Dvorak keyboard popular. The Dvorak keyboard had an interesting allocation of letters, and in the middle row, if you position your 8 fingers in the middle row, then theoretically, using the Dvorak keyboard, you can type 80% of English words without even moving your fingers to the row up or down. So it was a very optimal keyboard, and nobody wanted to use it. Now, on your smartphone, you can use theoretically any keyboard you want. You can install it if you want. You can find a Dvorak keyboard in your Play Store or Play Market and try to install it. You can try it out, but we don't do it. We got used to these keyboards. When David analyzed this case, he said that actually there were some interesting things. He called it the path dependency, because we created a kind of path, and from this path we cannot deviate. It is now too expensive to deviate from the path. For instance, if you want to produce a new keyboard, you have to do a lot of commercials, you have to convince people, you have to produce massive amount of keyboards with a new allocation of letters and make people use them. So it will be very, very expensive, and I think it would take a lot of time and a lot of power in order to convince people to use different keyboards. He called this state lock-in state, because we're kind of locked in a path and we cannot deviate from the path. And he said that actually, when the path evolved, there could be different options. And in the beginning, we could have any allocation of letters. It could be QWERTY, it could be also something else. But then one of the designs appears, then we get into dominant design state, because this design starts dominating the market and everybody tries to follow it if they want to compete against you. David said that there are three drivers of the path dependency. First, this is the technical interrelatedness. Second, it is the economies of scale. And third, it is quasi-reversibility of your investments. Theoretically, when the keyboards started producing them, they started producing them at scale. And many organizations started using them. So many organizations were technically interrelated and to the same standard. And if you wanted to have a skill, if you wanted to switch to a different organization, or if you wanted to hire people, you had to have a standard keyboard where people from outside could come and start working. So we had the issue of technical interrelatedness. And the more interrelated we were, the harder it was to get away from the path. The economies of scale, when they started producing the typewriters massively, each additional typewriter had a minimum price for the company. So making one on your own will take probably 1 year. But if you produce them at scale, if you produce them using a conveyor belt, you can produce hundreds or even thousands of them. And each additional unit costs not as much as the first unit. So theoretically, each time you produce a new typewriter, the cost of the typewriter diminishes. So economies of scale had a huge impact on the massive production popularity of the typewriters. And finally, he said it is the quasi-reversibility of your resources, of your investments. If you invest time into something, in your learning, in production, in a factory, you cannot get the money back. He called it, you can to some extent get the money back, that's why he called it quasi-reversibility. You can sell the factory, but you will not sell the factory to the same price as the investment was. Or if you look at your time. Of course, if you invest, I don't know, 2 weeks into learning how to make a fast typing using a 10 fingers typing on a QWERTY keyboard, you will not get this time back. So it would be completely reversible. And he said that these are the three drivers that made a path a cure and that led actually to very interesting consequences that we're going to talk about in the next episode. I hope it was interesting. I'm going to provide you with some examples about path dependency from the current economy in the next episode. See you next time. Wish you all the best. And bye-bye.